Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, from crude cataract removals to high-precision keyhole surgery and sight-saving laser treatments, the story of modern ophthalmology is nothing short of astonishing. Our next guest has not only witnessed that in person, he helped make it happen. Patrick Condon is a former consultant ophthalmic surgeon at University Hospital Waterford. And over 80 years old, he's lived through and pioneered some of the most extraordinary breakthroughs in eye care. Patrick, you're very welcome to the program. And I suppose when we think about ophthalmology, this is one of those it's one of those areas of medicine that really has seen an enormous amount of improvement over the many years. Can you just maybe describe what the field was like when you began as an ophthalmologist many years ago?
Oh, it was quite a different scenario in those days. I started in 1964 to start my first post in ophthalmology in London. And I remember I was working with one or two consultants out of a group of them who had actually gone through the war and were doing kind of cataract surgery that you never would dream of seeing these days. Also, I think microscope and microsurgery has changed the whole aspect of what we do at the moment. I knew some of the pioneers that started this.
Maybe we might focus on the areas that have seen the biggest leaps in treatment. So perhaps you might take me back to the 1960s and tell me, what were the treatments that, if a patient came to you, you thought to yourself, this is not good? And which of those have turned out to be either cured or dramatically improved since then?
From a general medical and surgical point of view, the eye is a very small organ in the body, and it's always been treated as something, well, not terribly important. But unfortunately, you know, the significance of your sight becomes so important when you don't have it and when you lose it. And I think one of the most important aspects of what we do, even though our surgery is very important, is the whole prevention of blindness programs that have been instituted over the years, such as a diabetic retinopathy, which, you know, up to a number of years ago, people actually went blind from it, and also glaucoma, which was a serious condition.
Yeah. What about eye transplants, for example? When did eye transplants come into play, and what was the option before eye transplants began to be offered in clinical practice?
It's only the cornea that's being transplanted. It's not the whole eye. That started a long time ago, you know, out of necessity of people going blind, where a cornea had to be transferred, had to be transplanted. It's so important that people can donate their eyes, their corneas, to somebody who's gone blind from corneal disease. And that's going, you know, 100 years or so now. But I mean, the modern techniques of corneal transplantation in recent years have changed dramatically. And of course, the whole donation program has improved dramatically as well, so that people can now donate their corneas just like they can donate any other organ in the body. It's a dramatic operation because it's unlike a cataract operation in that there's quite a lot of surgical skill involved in doing these operations.
What is it like as a surgeon to try something that dramatic for the first time?
Well, I think the cataract operation is the most dramatic, where the patient wakes up the next day, or doesn't go to sleep anyway, but can see almost immediately after the operation. But with a corneal transplant, it's quite a sizable section that you transplant, the whole front window of the eye. And it takes a long time for the cornea to heal afterwards, especially with the stitching that's involved. And the removal of the stitches don't really come out for about 3 months or so. So the vision doesn't come back straight away after these corneal procedures.
Can you just describe what this procedure is like, Patrick? Because when you're talking about, you know, stitching up an eyeball, just talk to me about the mechanisms there, because it feels like that is a very gelatinous substance that wouldn't stitch very well. How does that work? How do you go about doing that? And is that something that's still done by hand?
Oh, it is done by hand, and it is a very skilled procedure. Not every eye surgeon would be skilled enough to stitch a cornea up during a transplant. It's quite a skilled job, and it's all done by hand, and it's done under extreme high magnification and using special suture materials, which are specially designed for corneal transplant work. First of all, the cornea has to be stored in a healthy environment after it's been taken. So it's removed from the dead person's eye. It's taken to a special laboratory, put in special medium, and it's stored. And it can be stored for various periods of time, depending on the type of eye bank it goes to.
Up to how long?
Well, it used to be when we started this in the 80s in Waterford, we were only able to store them for 6 hours in an ordinary fridge at -6 degrees centigrade. And then they had to be operated and used straight away. But now we have organic culture, which keeps them alive in a special medium for up to 3 or 4 weeks. So they can be
amazing.
They can be stored, and then they can be used at any time. So the operation of the transplant doesn't have to be done immediately.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Okay. And so once you have the donated eye, what is the process by which you reattach it?
Well, the cornea then is trephined. It's removed from the donated eye with a special coring, like coring an apple, to put it crudely.
Right.
And the front part of the cornea is removed from the patient's eye, the bad part that has to come out, with the same trephine, the same sized instrument. And the new piece then is reinserted in the place of the old part. And then the surgeon has to stitch the cornea all the way around 360 degrees with very fine 10-0 nylon sutures.
And it's not, there aren't nerve endings to be connected. There isn't an optical fiber or anything. So it's literally the...
Nerve endings don't matter. And the other aspect of it is that it's an immune privileged position, the cornea. It doesn't have any blood vessels in it. So it's not like a kidney or a heart,
right,
which can be rejected unless the immune system is looked after.
Amazing. And so is this, I mean, presumably the patient is asleep when this happens?
Oh, the patient is, oh yeah, gosh, of course they are asleep. Yeah, you couldn't do it, because it could take up to about 2 hours to do, you know?
Yeah. So that's a cornea transplant. You talked about glaucoma, and obviously glaucoma, it can be so debilitating because, it essentially renders the patient blindness. Is glaucoma now, with modern medicine, modern techniques, is that essentially curable?
It is, Jonathan, it is. It's improved an awful lot. The only treatment we had for it were really pharmaceutical drops to lower the pressure in the eye. But in the last number of years, there have been a number of different newer type of operations being done, which again are very microsurgical and have to be done by specialists, specially trained to do that surgery. The idea of the operation is to drain the fluid from the eye and not to allow it to build up and damage the sight at the back of the eye.
Right. When you talked about diabetic retinopathy, this is obviously a very serious condition that can cause vision loss. That is now largely reversible, right? Depending on the patient's situation.
Yes.
What is the process by which you treat something like diabetic retinopathy, vision loss from diabetes?
Well, the most important way of treating diabetic retinopathy is to have the diabetes fully controlled medically. It can happen without the patient knowing, in that you can get slight little bleeds in the eye from the blood vessels after a while, for no apparent reason. And these can gradually get worse. And then finally, the sight can get very seriously involved. So what's needed is a constant monitoring of the sight, even though the patients may have perfect sight and have no problems. It's very important for them to be seen and checked out routinely, which is what the Diabetic Retinopathy Screening Service is doing at the moment in the country. But the treatment is sometimes laser and sometimes also injections are required if there are small hemorrhages inside the eye that can be stopped bleeding. These injections and some a little bit of laser treatment can sometimes stop.
Yeah, these anti-VEGF injections were essentially a game changer for eye healthcare, right? Because not just diabetic retinopathy, but AMD, age-related macular degeneration that often could lead to severe vision loss. Now we have this treatment, and if for those who haven't ever gotten an injection into your eyeball, it doesn't sound like the most enjoyable thing to do to have in the world, but these injections have been able to prevent and even improve vision for patients of AMD. And that is remarkable. If you'd like to read more about it, Patrick has written a book called Eye Healthcare, 90 Years of Progress. Patrick Condon, former consultant ophthalmic surgeon at University Hospital Waterford. Thank you so much for your time.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae,
proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.